Good morning. You want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. We'll read some verses there all together in a little while. We have a few things to say before we get there, but Deuteronomy, chapter 11. As you're turning there, I'd like to just say a very quick welcome to everybody. I know it's already been said, but this is the new year, and this is the first service of the new year, and so this morning we're doing something kind of different but kind of special, and that is we're unveiling our new theme, and we've referenced it just a few times throughout the last month of the year, and you see it on the screen behind me. You see it on the bulletin that you received while walking through the door. But we're excited for this year because we have so many things planned. And if you're visiting with us and you're following along, we're just so thankful that you're here with us and you're part of our family. And if you're part of our church family that attends here regularly, there's going to be a lot of information today and a lot of new things that we're going to start going over this year. And we'll have more to say about that in just a moment. But if you think about life for just a minute, and in almost everything we do, we keep records and we keep statistics. We keep records of financials. We keep records of taxes. We keep statistics in sports. When watching a sport, we have to know who has the most wins, who has the most touchdown passes, who has the most strikeouts, or whatever the situation is. We have an entire book in this world called the Guinness Book of World Records. And it's where we keep track of different stats and different records. Things like the furthest distance that milk was shot from someone's eye. That's a weird one to me. But we keep record of that. We have statistics of that. We have the world's smallest man, the world's longest fingernails, the world's longest hair. We have the world's longest handshake. Even the high jump in the Olympics, it sets a bar to see if you can reach it or go over it. And once you do that, it sets the bar even higher. It raises the bar each time you can make it over the bar. And what we see is the standard is set when someone does something, and we start asking ourselves, well, can we beat it? Records are always broken. The bar in the Olympics keeps getting moved up. There's an old saying that says, records are meant to be broken, not kept. And at some point, the person who owns a record for the most strikeouts will be outdone, and they'll be number two on the list. The person with the most touchdown passes will move down the list because someone will throw more at some point. Records are constantly broken. And that's why every year we get a new book of the Guinness Book of World Records. What these people have done is they've set a standard. They've set a standard in place that we all look at to be they are the best in whatever they do. But eventually what happens, and it might be soon, it might be years down the road, eventually what happens is someone else becomes the best. They raise the standard. When we look at the definition of what a standard is, it's defined as a level of quality or achievement that is considered acceptable or desirable. A teacher at the beginning of the year, the school year, reads the rules of the school and of the classroom. She is saying, here's the standard that everyone has to keep. Here's the standard of what we expect in the classroom, of what we expect in the school. Our kids are tested in standardized testing. Here's the standard of what you should know at each age and at each grade level. In World War II, we used propaganda on the ideal soldier. Here's the standard of what we want our soldiers to be. Can you meet that standard? Other words we use for this idea are our criteria. Here's the criteria. Here's what I expect out of this at work or at school. A yardstick that measures up to something. We're measuring up. We have expectations. And those are the kinds of things we're talking about this year. The standards that have been put in place. You know, we might not know it, and you might not know it about yourselves, but we all have standards. We all have expectations in our lives. Maybe some we verbalize, but maybe some we just have in our minds. One of the biggest things that young couples are told before you get married is not to have expectations, because here's what people do. They glorify marriage, but what we find out when you get into marriage is, well, real life happens. There's a honeymoon phase, and a lot of people expect the honeymoon phase to last, well, forever, but it's just a phase. And so they say, here's your expectations, and here's what you should expect. And we do the same with a new job. We say, What do you expect out of this job? What can I expect out of you as an employee? We all have different standards in mind. The question is, where do we get our standards? Where do we get our rules and our expectations? Because we all have different ones. I think it's safe to say that no one here will murder somebody. I might be mistaken. I hope I'm not. But I don't think anyone here today is planning a murder. Why? Because there is something inside you. Now, you've never probably verbalized, I'm not going to murder you. I'm not going to murder anybody. You don't have to verbalize that because some standards are understood. There's a moral standard, a moral understanding, moral limits and expectations. We all have different standards on how we think we should act. You might not murder somebody, but you might think it's okay to lie. While someone else might not think that's okay. You might not murder somebody, but you might think it's okay to cheat on a test, where someone else thinks that's wrong. You might think it's okay to do one thing while someone else thinks it's not okay. And what we see is we're all at different playing fields. We're not on a level playing field. We're all on different playing fields here. Some people think it's okay to go out and drink publicly. Others don't. Some think it's okay to use bad language while others don't. Some think it's okay to have sex before marriage while others don't. And typically what happens is each person has their own personal standard to help them determine right and wrong. Right and wrong behavior in certain situations. Right and wrong actions. Right and wrong thoughts. And the case can go on and on. And each one of us is different. And that's because we all base our standards on four different things. We all base our expectations on four different things. The first thing is the standard of popular opinion. We would be lying to ourselves if we said we did not look at the rest of the world, we did not look at Hollywood, we did not look at our friends, we did not look at our family to help base our standards and our morals and our expectations in life. The reason we dress the way we do is because other people do it. Or we saw it in a magazine. We saw it on TV. Other people at school are doing it. Other people at work dress like this. So I need to do it as well. The reason we talk the way we do. Well, people in Alabama say y'all, so I better say y'all too. People say buggy, so I better get on the bandwagon and say buggy. Actually, that's one I don't say. But I do say y'all. But other people do it. The reason we do things is because, most likely, it's the popular thing to do. Hairstyles are not the same as they were in the 1900s. Brooke and I are, we just finished I guess it was a PBS masterpiece thing called Pole Dark. And it's one of those things, maybe I shouldn't admit that I was kind of liking watching it. At first I thought it was just for girls. But as the story went on, I really started, you know, and I would go, are we going to watch Pole Dark tonight? We're going to, you know. But it takes place right after the Revolutionary War. And so this whole show, there's eight episodes, about an hour long each. This whole show, you see all these actors, and they have these you know, 1700-style hairdos. And some of them are just completely ridiculous. And that they dress a certain way, and they look a certain way. And then we watched some bonus features last night, and the first thing you notice is, wow, they look kind of normal now, right? So what happened? Well, it's not popular to dress like that anymore. It's not popular to do your hair like that anymore. No one has their hair up like that. And it's just, we don't do that. Why? Because that's not the popular thing to do. Times change. Popular opinion has changed. There's a reason why no one's wearing a poodle skirt this morning. Why? Because our standard has changed on what to wear. And so we get our standard from popular opinion. But we also can get our standard from feelings and emotions. And we say things like, well, because I feel this way, this is how I'm going to act or how I'm going to treat people. And most of what we do is determined based on how we feel. We justify things based on whether we're upset or if I'm happy or if I'm mad or if I'm tired. We all act a different way. And we feel like, well, if I'm tired, it's okay to act like this. If I'm mad, it's okay to treat someone like this. If I don't like this person, it's okay to say this to them, or maybe even about them. And how we feel sets our standard for how we treat and act towards different people. But as our emotions change, so do our standards. People often sin and do things that they're not supposed to do when they're depressed or mad or angry or upset. And when our emotions change, so do our standards. We also base standards on the past. Sometimes things change, like popular opinion. But sometimes in our minds, we say that the reason we do or don't do things is because, well, we tried that in the past, so it won't work. It didn't work then, it won't work today. Or this is how we've always done it. We've always done this. We've always said this. We've always acted like this. We've always, whatever it is. And so that's why my standards are the way they are. Or I saw mom and dad do this, and so I'm going to do it too. Or I saw grandma and grandpa talk like this, so I'm going to do it. Whatever the situation is, there are things that we do because they were done in the past. We just got through with several holidays that are very heavy in tradition. And I guarantee, maybe not all of you, but most of you this morning, that are here this morning, when it came to Christmas and New Year's, maybe even Thanksgiving, maybe even Halloween, the reason you did most of the things you did on those days is because what? Well, that's what I grew up with. We grew up doing this. We grew up eating these things on Thanksgiving and on Christmas. And so my standards, my expectations for every Christmas or every Thanksgiving is those things better be on the table. Right? Because that's how it always was. That's how it always is. And in our mind, we have expectations based on how it always was, how it always is. But lastly, and this is the one we want to focus on for the remainder of this year, we have the standard of God's Word. Now, we all know the standard of God's Word. That's why we're here today. Or at least we have the interest in knowing the standard of God's Word. We all read things like in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We all know those verses and say, here is the God-inspired, the God-breathed Scripture. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. So that the man of God, that is you and I, we may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's God's standard. God's standard is His Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so here we see that this is God's standard. Here's what God has given us. Now here's what we need to understand. God's given us a standard. God has set a standard, and He expects us to follow it. These are not merely suggestions or guidelines on how we ought to live our life, but He's saying, here is my standard. Here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to live. Here's how I want you to act. Here's how I want you to treat other people. Here's how I want you to speak. This is God's standard. And He's saying, I want you to reach it. I want you to raise yourselves to this standard, not the other standards. I can't speak for God, but I can almost hear Him saying, I don't care what the popular opinion is. I don't care what was done in the past, which is true in some cases in regards to Judaism and where they came from with the law of Moses. He's saying, there's a new standard in place. That's the standard of my word, of Jesus Christ. So God has set the standard. He expects us to follow it. Listen to what He says. I had you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I told you we'd get there in just a moment. But in Deuteronomy chapter 11, now this is His old law, His old standard, as we looked at, what Tommy looked at, and Harrison read this morning in our scripture reading. But in regards to His old law, here's what He expected His people to do. Deuteronomy 11, starting in verse 18, He says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Bind them as a sign on your head. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. He makes one thing very clear to the children of Israel. As they're about to enter the promised land, He says, now this law that I have given you, you lay these words in your heart. Put them in your soul. Put them on your hands. Put them on the frontlets of your eyes. Teach them to your children. Speak of them when you're in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you rise up. That is, you make these things a part of your life. Now, the Pharisees took some of this literally. They had something called a phylactery, That is a little box that some of them would put on their forehead with this scripture in it, saying, "Here is God's law on my between my eyes." And Pharisees would wear this around on their heads, saying, "I have God's law between the frontlets of my eyes on my forehead, just like he said." I don't think that's what the Lord is saying. But the Lord is taking the main things that we do here. He has your heart and your soul, your hands and the things you do, between your eyes, the things you see, or more importantly, the thing between your eyes is your brain, the things you think, the things you do. He says the places you go, the people in your house, when you're walking by the way, put them on your doorpost, put them on your gate. Everything you do should be around God's law and God's standard. That's what he expected from his people. Proverbs chapter 7, now I understand this is Solomon speaking to his son and asking his son to do these things, but I think we can take the same implications towards God's law. He says, "Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." A lot of the same imagery that Moses used in Deuteronomy. To put them on your heart, to bind them on your fingers. But even God gave the command the idea of when you follow these, I'm going to make your days multiplied in the promised land. He says, "Keep my commands, you will live." Listen to what Jesus says, and I think we can apply this to many of his teachings as well. In Luke chapter 9, verse 44, there was supposed to be another verse there. We'll get to that in just a minute. I think I skipped over one more. There we go. He says, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." He's telling his apostles, you need to listen to what I'm about to tell you. And I think we can apply that to many of his teachings, to listen carefully to what Jesus says. Going back here to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." I mean, time and time again, we see that here is God's standard. Here is God's law. Now follow it. Follow what God wants us to do. And if we're careful to do everything written in it, we'll be prosperous and successful. But here's what we need to understand. Standards in today's world are always changing. And we looked at that just a moment ago, briefly. But we live in a world where standards are constantly changing. What was acceptable 50 years ago is not acceptable today. It's true in business, it's true in sports, in finances, in relationships, and even sadly now it's creeping into religion. There used to be a time when making $5 a day was the acceptable standard. That's what was expected. I guarantee you go work 8 hours, 10, 12 hours in a day, and you get handed a $5 bill, you're going to laugh and say, "Well, where's the rest of it?" Why? Standards have changed. In sports, records are constantly broken. And that's because our standards of what we consider good has changed as well. And our problem is, we have it in our mind that in this always changing world of standards and expectations, that we can do the same to God's Word. I'm going to repeat that because I think that's the emphasis we're trying to make here this morning and this year. Our problem is we have it in our mind that in this always changing world of standards and expectations, we think we can do the same to God's Word. So what we have done is we have lowered God's standard. We have lowered God's standard to what we think it should be in our life. Which means, I feel like God's Word is a little out of date in regards to alcohol and maybe some language and maybe some of their customs or whatever it is. And so I feel like I don't need to do X, Y, and Z. While someone else, maybe sitting in the pew right next to you, feels like, well, I feel like that we need to follow X, Y, and Z. And someone else says, well, I feel like we need to follow X and Z, but not Y. And so what happens is we start saying these dangerous words. Well, I feel like, or I think, that's dangerous territory. We start telling ourselves that maybe mediocre is good enough. We start telling ourselves that attending one service a week is good enough. That's a good standard. We tell ourselves that giving the bare minimum in regards to the collection, that's good enough. Or doing the bare minimum in teaching classes, well, that's good enough. We complain when we're asked to do something at church. Why? Because I don't want to. Or someone else should be doing it. Why can't someone else do that? Why do I have to teach two quarters when I only want to teach one? I'm going to get here right when services start and leave right when they end, and that way I'm not going to be part of the church family. I'll act one way around Christians and another way at work. I'll talk about people behind their backs. I will hold everyone to my standard because I think that's what's right. You see, what we do is we use so many different things to say, here's what God expects of us, but I think, or I'm going to do this. But then what we do is we turn around on that same foot and we expect everyone to be just like me. You raise yourself up to my standard. No. And that's what we're focusing on this year. No one is being raised up to my standard. And I'm not raising up to your standard. But we're all, as a church family and as individuals, raising ourselves up to God's standard. Because that's the most important standard we have in this life. Because as we looked at already, God's standard is perfect. God's standard is complete, and God's standard is forever. And we're based on forever. Now, I'm going to ask these young men up here to stand up, and they have some booklets they're going to pass out to you. And while they're passing out, I'm going to go over a few things, because we're going to do something new this year. So everyone's going to get a booklet. But what we need to do is, instead of changing God's standard and lowering it to what we think it should be, it's time that we raise ourselves back up to God's standard. We want this church to meet the standard of God. We want every person here to meet God's standard and no one else's. And we want every marriage here to meet God's standard. We want every child here to meet God's standard. And that's something we're going to focus on this year. When each person is raising themselves to the standard of God, I think that's when we can truly begin to grow. Each one of you is getting a booklet. And here's what we're going to do in regards to raising the standard. Now, I know that what's tempting is to open that booklet and start flipping through it right now. And so follow me. We're going to go through it in just a second all together. Some of you are getting the look from your spouse saying, I told you, right? But here's what we're going to do this year. I'm going to confess something to you. We had a theme last year, and I feel like I dropped the ball. Because all I did with the theme last year is preach one time a month on that theme. And I would venture to say that 90% of you forgot about the theme until I preached on it the next month. And there are even times, even though I have it posted on my bulletin board right by my desk, that I forgot about the theme until it was time to say, what am I preaching on this month? Oh, yes, that's it. So, my fault. So, here's what we did. The elders and I got together. We got together with the deacons, and we basically said, what does this church need? What does this church need this year? What do we need right now? And we came up with the topic, we need to raise ourselves to God's standard. God has a standard put in place, and we're not meeting it in different aspects of our lives. And so we all know that this is our theme, raising God's standard. But what we're doing is we're breaking the year into four different parts, four quarters. And each quarter is going to focus on one more way we raise the standard. The first quarter, the first 3 months, will be raising the standard in our service. The second quarter will focus on raising the standard in our worship. The third quarter is going to be raising the standard in our personal leadership. And the fourth is raising the standard in our home. The elders, the deacons, their wives, myself and Brooke, we thought that these were the four biggest areas where we needed the most help. In how we serve other people, and how we worship our God, and how we lead, not only this congregation, but in our jobs, and at school, and just in everyday life. And lastly, in our home. And how do we raise ourselves up to God's standard in those four areas? Now, in each month, or in each quarter, what we're going to do is have each month designated to a different topic. And so as you see, in January, we're going to go over God's standard for serving Him. How does God expect us to serve Him? How does God expect him to serve his people? And how does God expect us to serve not only his people, that is the people of this church, but other people outside of this church? Because God has put a standard for each one of those things. And are we living up to his standard? Not what I think his standard is, but what his standard truly is. In quarter two, as we look at his standard for worship, we're going to look at how to give our best to God. What is God's standard for giving our best? What is God's standard for just the worship service? What does he expect out of us when we come together? And what does he expect out of us in our daily worship? Because worship goes far beyond just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. In quarter three, as we look at God's standard in our personal leadership, we're going to have a lot of things to say, not only about the leaders in this church, but even if you're not an elder or a deacon, you can lead in this church. And you could lead outside of this church as well. And so we're going to look at God's standard is leading by relating. That is, forming relationships, relating with the people, and being a shepherd. God's standard is leading by example. Kind of the monkey see, monkey do effect. Can someone see God working in me? That's being a leader. And God's standard is leading with a vision. Well, where are we going? Or are we just staying in one place? Are we having God's vision and God's standard in mind? In the fourth quarter, we're going to look at the home. Now, this is what most people are most excited about. And I feel like when the elders and the deacons and everyone got together, this was what we all wanted, especially us younger people. And a lot of people have been asking for marriage and parenting classes. And so we're going to have a whole quarter dedicated to just the home and leading your home. And the standard for marriage and the standard for raising children. We'll have a whole quarter on those things. And so each of you was given a booklet that looks something like this. Now, I'm going to just say this from the very beginning. You're not going to be able to read everything on the screen. I'm just showing you kind of as we walk through the booklet what's there to give you an idea of what to look at, and you could read it on your own time, and you'll have a booklet for yourself. And so this is what the booklet looks like. And it will explain everything in more detail. And you're going to... Here's what I want to make clear to you. That the elders and I want to encourage you to maybe keep this with your Bible. Work on it at home with your family. Put it on your coffee table. Put it on your living room table or your dining room table. Whatever it is, keep it somewhere where it will always be with you. Because what we're going to do is each month there's a small write-up for everything we're going over that month. For everything we're going over that quarter. Just a little small write-up for you to just go over by yourself, to go over with your family on how to raise yourself to the standard of that month. And then after that, there will be a little objective. Here's something we want you to do this month. Here's something we want you to think about this month to help us raise ourselves to the standard of God. Now also, just to make this to where I'm not preaching on it once a month, but it's always in every single one of our minds, you'll notice that the bulletin is brand new. And on the front of the bulletin, all you'll see is this every single Sunday. Now don't pass over this every single Sunday. Because in my opinion, this is the most important part of the bulletin. Because this is what's going to keep us all together. Because right under that picture where it says raising the standard, it's going to have this quarter, we're raising the standard in our service. There's your reminder. In January, we're focusing on God's standard for serving Him. There's our reminder. And then at the very bottom, there's January's objective. Find one activity in your daily life that might have no connection with spiritual things. Find a way to turn this daily activity in a way to serve God. That will be there every week. And as the month changes, so will the standards. And so will the objective. And as the quarter changes, so will the bulletin as well. But to go even farther, so that it's not just me preaching and you reading a bulletin and having this booklet, we're also, excuse me, we're also basing every Bible class on these topics. Every topic that we go over this year will be in place because of what we're going over that quarter. So in January through March, we're raising the standard in our service. Well, the classes that start tonight is going to be 1st and 2nd Peter, serving under persecution, and downstairs will be serving like Christ. And as you go on, I'm not going to read everything. You're more than capable of doing that yourself. But every quarter's class is right there for you to look at. You know what's coming up this year. It goes right with our theme. There is a reason why we teach Bible classes. And it's not just to get together and open our books and talk about nothing. But it's to grow together. Grow spiritually together. And grow towards God's standard. On the other page there, you see a lot of upcoming events. Now this, I think, is very important. Every event we have going on this year, whether it's at this church or at the bottom, maybe extracurricular, is listed right here on this page. You'll see things like our sermon and songs. The dates are already there. The ladies' seminar that's coming up in February is already there. And the theme for that will be Bless Your Heart, Studies from the Beatitudes. We're going to have two Invite a Friend Sundays. One thing that maybe we fail at is God's standard for evangelizing. And these are two opportunities where we can invite people to our worship service so they can worship God as well. We're going to have men's studies and ladies' studies. Now, these men's studies and ladies' studies that we're doing, these are either at the building or at someone's home on Tuesday nights or Monday nights, whatever they decide. They're all right there in your booklet, though. But there's a purpose with those as well. The men will be going over the book, Do Things Well, The Pursuit of Excellence. That is the idea of raising ourselves to a better standard, just like our theme. The women, you'll be going over, I will not be lukewarm, rising above mediocrity. So even our ladies and men's studies, they have a purpose in what we're doing here. We go back to this screen for just a second. Some of you might have been following along. Our VBS, we're going to have a summer series with guest speakers in July and August this year. Our gospel meeting with Ed Harrell. All those things, our men's morning study that we've been doing will continue. We'll have end-of-quarter singings. We'll have our Thanksgiving service and our reflection service at the end of the year. All those things will go right along with our theme on what we're doing. In regards to the extracurricular activities, we have our ladies' retreat, our spring event, our men's retreat that will be new this year, our fall cookout, our ladies' nights, our men's nights, and even new this year is our teens' night. What we want to get across to everybody is we're all trying to raise ourselves to a better standard. And what I hope you see by this page is there are how many opportunities for you yourself to try to raise yourself to a better standard. And if you've been kind of trying to make New Year's resolutions or you've been trying to wonder, hey, how can I be better this year? Here's so many opportunities for you to say, maybe I wouldn't have gone to those in the past, but I will this year because I want to raise myself to God's standard. I want to put myself around other Christians. I want to study God's word more. There's so many opportunities to do that this year in this booklet. Something else new that we're doing this year, and if you notice, we took a break from Proverbs on our scripture reading, and I don't know if any of you noticed this, but Harrison read a scripture today, and Tommy referenced that scripture in his Lord's Supper talk. Because what we're doing is the next page, you'll see something like this. These are all of our scripture readings for the year, and it's all of our Lord's Supper topics for the year. So you men, if you're down for a Lord's Supper talk, here's what you're talking about. You don't have to go and say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. How do I prepare something? It could be as simple as just, here's your verse, read it. And what you have here in this book is 52 reasons why Jesus raised the standard. How Jesus raised the standard. Today we looked at, he bore the curse of sin for us. He took the curse of sin for us. And each one of these will have to do exactly with our theme. Now, some of you might just use this as you don't know what to read during the Lord's Supper. Well, you can read this. The men doing the Lord's Supper talk. Here's your scriptures. The scripture readings, here they are. Everything has a purpose this year. And it will all drive us forward to where we want to go. And lastly, and then you can look at the rest of this on your own after services today, this afternoon. The very back of the book, you're going to see this page. This page is titled, This Month I Will Raise the Standard By. And this is just simply for you or your family. To just simply look at what you can do this month, or maybe what you have done this month, to say, here's something I have done. Here's how I raised myself to God's standard. This is where we want you to keep track of trying to do one thing a month that you normally wouldn't do. Maybe it's making a phone call. Maybe it's attending an extra service a week. Maybe you're one of the Sunday morning crowd and you want to start coming on Sunday night. That's how you can raise the standard. Maybe it's just attending an extra Bible study during the week. Maybe it's leading a song during one of our singing services. Maybe it's putting yourself out there and teaching a Bible class or giving an invitation or preparing a meal or writing a card. Whatever it is, do something you normally wouldn't do. Raise yourself up to the next level. And what you're going to do at the end of the year, you're going to look back and you have 12 months, 12 things that you did that were extra that you didn't do the year before. 12 reasons why you raised the standard this year in 2016. I understand that this is a lot of information. I understand that some of you are visiting, and again, we're thankful that you're here, but if you're a member here, I want to just say a few quick things. One, that the elders are doing a wonderful job shepherding this congregation. We have four elders that care about everybody here, and we have four elders that care about where this church is headed. I can't tell you how many congregations I've been a part of or I've seen over the years that are dying because they're not moving forward. But these elders want to move forward. And not just move forward for the sake of moving forward, they want us all to be in heaven. And they understand that by doing things like this, that's a reality someday. That when we raise ourselves to God's standard, heaven is a reality, not just a hope. And so these four men, there's a note from the shepherds in your book, you can read on your own time. But they want us all to raise, themselves included, to raise ourselves to a higher standard. They want every family in here to go to heaven. And I could say that because I've heard them say it. They want every single one of us to be together in heaven. And this year, we're going to raise ourselves to that standard. I know none of us, as Tommy said today, none of us are worthy because of sin to partake of that. None of us are worthy of heaven. But by following God's standard, God says He'll make us worthy. He'll make us worthy to be there if we work together. This is not an individual thing. We're working together as a congregation. But these objectives, were, if we do them all together, if we do these scripture readings together, if we go through these lessons together, if you do these things together, can you imagine what this congregation will be like in a year? We, this past year, have grown leaps and bounds in two areas. Numerically, we've added tons of different families in 2015, which is great. And that's still our goal, but more importantly, we want to continue to grow spiritually. And this is going to do that, where we can all grow together spiritually, and we can all make it to heaven together. If you have any questions about any of this, talk to an elder, talk to a deacon, talk to myself, and we want to help you. And maybe one reason that maybe you're holding back or not raising yourself to the standard of God is because you haven't been baptized yet. We want you to be baptized. God wants you to be saved from your sins. And that's one way you can raise yourself to meet the standard of God. Because He says that those who aren't baptized will not enter the gates of heaven. That it's that baptism is not the removal of the filth from the flesh, but that baptism is what washes away our sins when we are buried with Christ and rise up in newness of life. And we can do that for you right here. Or maybe you're just sitting here this morning and you've kind of realized, I've lowered God's standard to what I think it should be instead of raising myself up to His. Then start new. This is a new year. We say new year, new you, right? This is a new year. Start right now living God's standard. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.